We thank you this morning for your presence. We thank you, Lord, that you have affirmed to us, you have reassured us, Lord, prophetically, that your presence is here, that you are moving among us. Father, I thank you for that, Lord, for that reminder. And Lord, I pray for each of us that we continue to reach out to you, that we continue to have our hearts open to you. Lord, I pray that you would touch us at the places where we need to be touched. Lord, as Debbie shared, oh God, we all thank you for your protection this past week, Lord, from the storms that passed through. Lord, we thank you for your continued protection even over this county against the different things that will come against us. And Father, as we look into your word, we ask you to continue to speak to us. Lord, we declare this morning that our hearts are open, our minds are ready, our minds are being renewed to receive your word. And Lord, we pray this morning that your word would come, and that, Father, we would see you in the midst of your word, and that we would be changed, we would be transformed, that we would be edified, and that Christ would be glorified. Lord, we pray these things in Jesus' name. And all of God's people said, amen. And amen. Wonderful. Well, it's good to see you all here this morning. Some of you may know that we had our first case, positive case, COVID-19 case, announced this last Friday. But keep praying for our community, keep praying for our county, for God's protection and God's presence. It's only by the grace of God that we're here. It's by the mercy of God. I want to share this morning with us what I've called the Mary principles. The Mary principles. Looking primarily at Mary, the mother of Christ, and Mary of Bethany. Those two Marys, there are many Marys mentioned in the scripture, but we're just looking at two of them this morning. I believe there are some principles that we can see from the lives of these women that apply to all of us, not just women, but to all of us as believers, to all of us as followers of Christ. So turn with me, if you will, to Luke's gospel, Luke chapter 1. Luke chapter 1 from verse 26, starting first, looking at the mother of Christ. Luke chapter 1, verse 26, reading from the NIV, says, in the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel said to her, the angel went to her and said, greetings, you who are highly favored, the Lord is with you. Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, do not be afraid, Mary, you have found favor with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you are to call him Jesus. Then skipping down to verse 37, it says in the NIV, no word from God will ever fail. Most translations says, with God, nothing is impossible. And Mary responds, I am the Lord's servant. May your word be fulfilled. Then the angel left her. So talking about Mary, the mother of Christ, as I reflected on her, in the notes there, I've noted that she was a normal young woman, normal, godly young woman in her day. Scholars think that she may have been somewhere in her teen years, perhaps 16, 17. She was betrothed to Joseph. So she was a young woman, but she was godly. She perhaps came from an average family, so she wasn't from a wealthy family. And we'll pick up this when she sings her Magnificat. She makes mention that she was brought up from a humble state. God took mind of a humble state. So she wasn't from a wealthy family. She was from basically a working class family. And we all know the working class family in this country. These are the ones of us who, when there's a pandemic, within a few weeks, we're in trouble because we don't have a lot of money. We are basically the working poor. And so thank God for a government that will step in and give stimulus to try and help people, because we're just living, most people, from paycheck to paycheck, or perhaps two paychecks to the next paycheck, but we are like that. And Mary perhaps came from a family like that. She wasn't full of wealth. She was basically getting by. And so a lot of what she went through, many of us can identify with her. So the angel comes to her and declares to her that she is highly favored of the Lord. And she's perplexed at the angel's greeting. Many of you know all of this before. She's not like I would be. I'd be perplexed at the presence of this angel coming to me. But she's not concerned about that. She's concerned about what the angel said, that she's highly favored of God. And friends, one of the principles that all of us need to embrace is that we too are highly favored of the Lord. That we too have been called by God, and we too are recipients of God's favor, irrespective of your circumstances.
Amen.
And so here's Mary, highly favored of the Lord, and the angel repeats it so she can get the message. Many times God has to repeat things to you and me before we get it. Sometimes several times before we get it, because many of us, our heads, it's hard for us to receive what God says to us. And it was the same thing for Mary. She took a while to receive that she was highly favored. And the angel tells her that she is going to conceive. And she's like, but I'm a virgin. What are you talking about? And the angel explained to her that she's going to be overshadowed by the Spirit of God. And she's going to receive through that overshadowing. She's going to conceive. That's amazing. That the Lord would say to her that no, that the angel would say that with God, nothing is impossible. And Mary believed this word. Can you imagine that? Believe this impossible word. So here she's highly favored, and it's in her ninth month, days before she's to give birth, that she has to travel to Bethlehem. And as I've shared before in the past, favor of God doesn't mean we don't go through hardships. Because here she was in that ninth month having to go through this hardship, perhaps traveling on a donkey or something of the sort. No room for her in the inn. And you think that if I'm so highly favored, why is there not at least one room so I can testify how God left a room for me? But there was no room, but yet still she's highly favored. And that's why it's important for us, you and me, to see we're highly favored irrespective of our circumstances. Our circumstances might not look good to the person looking on, but we're still highly favored. And so God found a place for her in a stable of all places. And they tell me that when women are pregnant, their sense of smell increases. And so here is Mary, the highly favored of God, in this stable with these animals. And yet still she's highly favored. Yeah. Here we are in the middle of this pandemic, but yet still we're still highly favored. Amen. And she has to put her newborn child in a manger, a feeding trough. Which mother wants to do that? But she's still highly favored. And so she was able to embrace being favored of God and still experiencing hardship and not turning her back on the Lord and saying, Lord, what on earth is all of this? Why is this happening to me? She embraced it as a person chosen by God. And so that's one of the principles for you and for me. Yes, we're highly favored, but it doesn't mean we won't go through some hardships. What it means is that in the midst of our hardships, God is with us. And God's provision might not seem as if it is something that you can brag about, but it is still his provision. It is still his intervention. And so she experienced that. Mary was a young woman full of faith to be able to say to the angel, be it unto me according to your word. She was full of faith. Yes, she had questions. She wanted to know, well, how is this going to happen? An angel gave her an explanation, which in my mind still doesn't make any sense. But she embraced it. As if God said it, that's all right. Be it unto me according to his word. And that ought to be our response, because many times the things that God says to us seem impossible. It seems out of the norm. And what God wants us to do is to respond saying, Lord, be it unto me according to your word. Not according to my way of figuring it out. Not according to the laws of science. Not according to what my grandmother say, but according to your word.
Yes.
You see? And when we have that attitude, we start to live in a supernatural realm. Because that's when God starts to do miraculous things, and then we are just sitting back, basically marveling at the supernatural intervention of God. This young woman embracing these words. And she went on later to embrace prophetic words that came. Because when she had her son and she took Jesus into the temple for him to be blessed, there was Simeon, there was Anna, and there was prophetic words being brought forth concerning the Messiah. And she embraced them. The scriptures say that in Luke chapter 2, verse 19, it says, Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds came by and shared with her what they saw and what was said to them, and she pondered these things. Later on, in chapter 2 and verse 51, a similar thing is said, that as she treasured up these things in her heart, when she realized who Christ was, she treasured these things in her heart. She pondered them. To treasure means to see it as valuable. She didn't allow it to pass and to slip. I don't know what she did, but today I would encourage you to treasure God's word, to write it down somewhere so you can recall it, to think on it, to meditate upon it, to pray about it, to bring it back to the Lord continually. Ponder on it. Yes. Don't allow the word of the Lord to just slip you.
Yes.
She pondered it, and she even got a word, part of which was pretty rough. When Simeon came to her, Simeon said to her that, you know, this child has been, let me read it for us, verse 25 of chapter 2. Now there was a man in Jerusalem called Simeon who was righteous and devout. He was waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was on him. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit he would not die before he had seen the Lord's Messiah. Moved by the Spirit, he went into the temple courts when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him what the custom of the law required. Simeon took him in his arms and praised God, saying, Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, you may now dismiss your servant in peace. And then it goes on, verse 34. Then Simeon blessed them and said to Mary, his mother, This child is destined to cause the falling and rising of many in Israel, and to be a sign that will be spoken against, so that the thoughts of many hearts will be revealed, and a sword will pierce your own soul too. A sword pierced Mary's heart also. She got that as part of the prophetic word. Saying this child of yours is going to cause all manner of things to happen. But you, Mary, will also experience a sword in your own heart. And scholars believe that this took place at his crucifixion. Because no mother, no parent wants to watch their child suffer. And can I tell you something? Most mothers will say all sort of good things about their children. Oh, my child would never do that. You know, when the teacher calls them in, my child would never do that. My child would never say that. My child would never act that way. A lot of mothers are like that. And some of us know, well, you don't know what your child is like when you're not here. But Mary is the only one who could really say, my child will never do that. My child will never lie. My child will never backbite. My child. She's the only one who could actually say on that day, my child is innocent. All of these accusations by the scribes and the Pharisees, she could say, my son has never done anything wrong. Wow. That's powerful. And yet she had to watch him suffer. She had to watch him being ridiculed. She had to watch him being mocked on that cross. And she stood there at the foot of the cross. She had her sister beside her to support her. And John not too far. But she still had to go through all of that. The word being fulfilled in her life, that a sword shall pierce your very heart. Unfortunately for most of us as parents, there will come things that will hurt us too. Things that will happen to your children and your grandchildren that are going to touch your own heart. Sometimes because of what they do, sometimes because of what others do to them. But it's just part of parenting that if things will happen that will touch your own heart, and you have to take it to the Lord. You have to lift up the situation and the individuals to the Lord in prayer and leave it there. That's what Mary had to do. Leave the scribes and the Pharisees in the hand of God. So that was Mary. Shortly after she got this, got the word from the angel, she went to visit her cousin Elizabeth. And the scriptures record for us what they call the Magnificat. This is Mary's song. This is Mary's worship to the Lord. This is Mary incorporating into things that she knows. I call it confessional worship. Things that she knows about the Lord and making it personal. This is her personal encounter being declared in worship. Because you see, friends, for you and for me, where our worship must incorporate our experiences with God. Our worship should not just be some abstract thing out there that we're always declaring truths about God, which are important, but we need to bring it down to a personal level too. And that's what Mary did in this Magnificat. This is what she says in Luke chapter 1 and verse 46. Mary said, "My soul glorifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior." That's what she declares. She was acknowledging and professing and confessing God to be her Savior, the one who was intervening in her life, and she was rejoicing in him and glorifying God as a response of the word that God gave her. That was her response, was to glorify and magnify God. And I suspect that this wasn't a one-time thing, that she continued to proclaim and to declare her worship to the Lord so much so that it could be recorded for us. She says, verse 48, "For he has been mindful of the humble state of a servant. From now on, all generations will call me blessed." She was now embracing the privilege of being the mother who would bring forth the Messiah. And she was realizing that she came from a humble state, and yet still God considered her worthy to bring forth the Messiah. Yeah. In the same way in which most of us come from some humble beginnings, but yet still God considers us worthy to be called into his service, worthy to be entrusted with a vision, with a purpose. Yeah. That's the type of God that we serve. And we know that she was come from this humble background, because when she went into the temple to give her sacrifice for the newborn, according to Leviticus chapter 12 and verse 8, you're supposed to sacrifice a lamb. But if you can't afford a lamb, you can give two turtle doves. And she and Joseph brought two turtle doves because that's what they could afford. So she came from this humble state. But she realized that God had chosen her. Verse 49, "For the mighty one has done great things for me. Holy is his name." She made it personal. He wasn't just a mighty God out there, but he's a mighty one who has done great things for me. Yeah. He has touched my life. He has intervened and shown his power on my behalf. And so she could declare to the world that holy is the Lord. He's different. He's separate. He's transcendent. It's part of his very central nature to be holy. That's the God that she served, and she wasn't ashamed to declare it. You would think that, but Mary, you're going to be showing in a few weeks and you're not, you know, married and think, what's going on here? Are you not ashamed? No, she's saying, "Lord has done great things for me. Holy is his name." That's the God whom I serve. Take it or leave it, but that's the God whom I serve. Yes. And then she goes on to say some other things. She says, "His mercy extends to those who fear him from generation to generation." She's declaring the generational mercies of God, which suggests to me that she came from a family that knew God's mercy, that she could look back and see it through her parents. And now she's experiencing it, and she knows her children will experience God's mercy. It's the same thing for you and for me, that our God, the God whom we serve, is our God who shows mercy to generations. Not just to me, but to my children, to my children's children. He showed it to my mother and to my father. And that's the news I want to declare to the world. God is merciful. Amen. I mean, when you look at your life, if we are honest, all we can see is the mercy of God. I mean, we're here in this county, and all we can see really, if we look at it, is God's mercy. Debbie just shared about it, what happened to her on Monday. God's mercy. She could have been tossed. Her car could have flipped over. Semis on the highway flipped over on the side. But it was God's mercy. And so you and I, we can pray with confidence For those around us, for God's mercy. God have mercy upon them. They don't know what they're doing. That one's addicted to alcohol, set him free. That one addicted to drugs, set him free. Lord, have mercy. Amen. Then she goes on to say that he, sends the hungry. He fills the hungry with good things and sends the rich empty away. I don't know who came up with this 1 hour thing. Yes. Must be Robert Schuller or someone like that. An hour of power. But that's what God does. He responds to those who are hungry, physically as well as spiritually. Yes. And those who think they're full of everything and they're rich and not having a need, they don't get anything. That's why the gospel writers talk about being poor in spirit. It's a certain type of attitude where you come to God realizing that you need him. Yes. And when we come to him with that attitude, he fills us. And he gives us more and more and more. Yes. But the scribes and the Pharisees thought that they had everything. And so Jesus says, well, you stay. You don't receive anything because you think you have everything. Yes. And so Mary was declaring these truths. And then she went on to talk about now that God has established his covenant going all the way back to Abraham. She saw herself as part of this covenant that God had with his people. Wow. That's her Magnificat. She was such a committed woman to the Lord and to his purposes. And to the church. In Acts chapter 1, it says that when the church met while they were waiting for the day of Pentecost, she was there. She was listed. She was meeting with the church in prayer, anticipating the move of God. Wow. Let's just talk briefly about Mary of Bethany. Mary of Bethany, Luke chapter 10. Verse 38. As Jesus and the disciples were on their way, he came to a village where a woman named Martha opened her home to him. She had a sister called Mary who sat at the Lord's feet listening to what he said. But Martha was distracted by all the preparations that had to be made. She came to him and asked, Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do the work by myself? Tell her to help me. Martha, Martha, the Lord answered, you're worried and upset about many things, but few things are needed, or indeed only one. Mary has chosen what is better and will not be taken away from her. Mary and Martha invited Christ into their home. With Mary, the mother of God, she was chosen. And she said, yes, Lord. But here, these two women took it upon themselves to invite him into their homes. They were like, sir, you need to stop here. And there's a place for all of us to realize we need to invite God into our homes and into various circumstances. Or else it might just, we might not see the intervention of God as we'd want to see it. Invite him into your circumstances. Invite him into your homes. That's what these women did. It would mean more, things would be slightly different for a while, but yes, invite him. And many of you all know the story. That Mary, it says here, sat at his feet listening. What is so important about that? I'm so glad you asked. In the first century, women were not given the privilege of sitting at the feet of the rabbis and learning. Only men could sit there and be taught. They were the disciples, they were the apprentices, not the women. So this is a unique opportunity that Mary of Bethany has. That the Lord is allowing her to sit right there, listening to him, learning, being taught. And that's why it becomes important. That's why it says she has chosen the better part, because she's there, there's an opportunity to be taught and to listen to what the Messiah has to say. It's a unique opportunity. When he's gone, he's gone. You see, Martha also wanted to sit there. But she also felt the need to get other things done. And so the word used concerning Martha was that she was distracted. She was trying to listen while doing other things. And so she said to Christ, thinking that Christ is going to be the typical rabbi, saying, Don't you care that she's not helping me, sir? Thinking that Jesus, understanding the culture, would say, Mary, you know you really should not be sitting here. This is the place for the men. But instead, Jesus says, no. She has chosen the better thing, to listen to the voice of the Lord, to hear his word. Now, the difficulty in trying to translate this into our time is that women have the opportunity to be taught today. You're all here, ladies. Women have the opportunity to know God's word. So it's not the same. You can't just translate it from the first century into our context, because in the first century, they didn't have the opportunity. It was a privileged time. But Mary took advantage of the opportunity. And the principle for you and for me is that we need to sit at the feet of the Lord and learn from him. We need to spend time listening to his voice. We need to spend some time in his word so he can teach us. Don't get so busy doing all sort of stuff that you miss out on the opportunity to hear the voice of the Lord and to be taught by the Lord. There are lots of stuff we can do. We can go out there, we can open soup kitchen and teach all sort of stuff. And you miss out on the opportunity to be at the feet of the Lord, to learn from him. That's the principle. And Jesus loved Mary and Martha. He loved them both. It says in John chapter 11. And so when their brother was sick and they sent for Christ, Christ delayed and he came a little later, a couple days later. By this time, he has been dead for 4 days. And Christ raised Lazarus from the dead. And the next time when he passed through town, again, Mary and Martha, they're already good friends now, he stops by. And this is Mary's response to him now in John chapter 12. Verse 2, here a dinner was given in Jesus' honor. Martha was still serving while Lazarus was among them, reclining at the table with him. Then Mary took about a pint of pure nard, an expensive perfume. She poured it on Jesus' feet and wiped his feet with her hair, and the house was filled with the fragrance of the perfume. And Judas objected and said, why didn't we sell this and give the money to the poor? Expensive perfume, a year's wages. Can you imagine working for a whole year to buy this perfume? Wow. But this was Mary's response to the fact that Jesus had raised her brother, to the fact that she had seen the supernatural intervention of God in her circumstance. No, she's not listening to him teach. No, she's worshiping him. She's serving him through worship. Martha is serving him through the practical ways that she knows how to serve. And Mary is now serving through her worship. Expensive worship. She's giving him her all. And the idea here is that for you and for me, we have experienced more than she experienced. We have all experienced the salvation there is in Christ. He deserves all of our worship. Mary wasn't concerned on neither occasion about what people think. She didn't really succumb to peer pressure. I mean, can I tell you, friends? We in Midwest, we don't understand this. You know what Judas did? Judas publicly tried to shame her. That's what he did. He's like, lady, you're wasting that stuff. He didn't say it quietly. That's why Jesus responded. He didn't say it, why is she doing? No, he said it out loud to try and embarrass this young woman. Lady, you're wasting your money. Why are you doing that? Why don't you sell that and give it to the poor? And that's why Jesus spoke up and basically put Judas in his place and supported this woman publicly. You see, friend, sometimes when you start to worship God because of what God has done for you, some people will criticize. Some people say, well, why does he have to go on like that? Why does she have to run around the room? Why does he have to shout like that? It's none of your business. You didn't do anything for me. It is he who has set me free. Amen. And I'm saying to us, friends, don't allow people to put you into some cage. Whatever God has done for you, be free to worship him and to let the world know the mighty things that God has done for you. Let us stand. We're way behind, way over time. But friends, there are some principles we get from the lives of these two Marys. Mary, the mother of Christ, came from a very lowly position, but she embraced God's favor as well as the hardship. Everything that comes with following the Lord, she embraced it. She was a woman full of faith. She had questions. Questions doesn't mean you don't have faith. But at the end of it all, they say, even if I don't have the answers to these questions, I'm still going to believe God, that let his word be fulfilled in my life and my circumstances. She embraced the prophetic words and prophetic encounters, and she pondered on them. She meditated on them. She treasured them. And I skipped over this one in John chapter 2. Mary, the mother of God, interceded. When they ran out of wine at the wedding, she came and said, Jesus, they're out of wine. She interceded. She was concerned about the circumstances of others. So too should you and I be concerned about the circumstances of others and intercede on their behalf. She was committed to the church and to prayer. And she declared in her own way her confessional worship to the Lord. He has done great things for me. And then Mary of Bethany, she invited Jesus into her circumstances, into her home. She didn't succumb to the peer pressure, even of her older sister, to get busy. But she sat at the feet of the Lord and learned. So too should you and me sit at the feet of the Lord and learn. Allow him to teach us and to hear his voice. Mary knew that Jesus loved her. She had no doubt about it, according to John chapter 11. And when Jesus raised her brother from the dead, she let loose and worshipped him with all that she had, irrespective of what a close follower of Christ would say, Judas. She's like, I don't care what he says, I'm going to worship him. Let's not bow our heads this morning. Just take a few moments and ask the Lord, just to impress in your own heart some way to respond to this word. Maybe it's to just write down some of the things he has said to you and to ponder those things, to treasure those things. Don't allow his prophetic word just to pass. Maybe it's prophetic words over your own children. Write them down and pray through them. Paul says to Timothy to wage war through the prophetic word. Keep praying until they're fulfilled. Pray over your loved ones, your family and your friends, your children, your cousins, your nieces, nephews. Mary, the mother of Christ, was committed to prayer. She was there with the early church. Commit yourself to pray. Commit yourself to intercede on the behalf of others. Commit yourself to worship him, irrespective of what people might think. Just give him your all. It might look foolish to others, but it's between you and God. Father, this morning we thank you. Just lift your hands to the Lord. Father, we thank you for your presence here. We thank you for your word. And Lord, as we lift our hands to you, Lord, we lift our hands because we know that we need you. We need you more and more every day. We need your word. Teach us, O Lord, how to sit and listen and not be distracted. Lord, we need you to be at work even more in our own lives, at work even more in our own homes, at work even more in our families. Lord, we invite you this morning to come, O God, and establish your presence in the name of Jesus Christ. Lord, we need you, O God. We need a fresh outpouring of your spirit and of your presence among us. Lord, we declare as Mary did, O God, that our souls rejoice in you and we glorify you, our God and our Savior. Lord, we thank you for the salvation that you have given unto us in Christ. And so, Lord, we lift our hands back to you, O God, saying, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Lord, as we leave this place this morning, Lord, Lord, we ask you to go with us. Lord, we ask you, God, to continue to lead us, continue to teach us, continue to speak into our hearts. Lord, continue to help us to grow in our faith. That, Lord, our response, even when we don't understand, will be it unto me according to your word, O God. Lord, we thank you that we are highly favored of you. Help us, O God, to embrace, O God, with that the hardships that may come our way. But, Lord, above all this morning, we declare that you are a good, good Father. In Jesus' name we pray. And all of God's people said,
amen.
And amen.